is your girl Asada O, and welcome to the Easy Breezy Life, the official podcast of our global community, featuring women from over 50 countries who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become CEO of your life so that you can take the reins and create the abundance that God intended for you to have. As a disclaimer, everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. We believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, and we want to encourage you to seek our professional advice and support in any way, shape, or form that you might need it. We're going to take a brief break and come back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. Hello, beautiful people. I'm coming to you today with a complimentary episode for this month, and I hope that you enjoy it. You may have been following on social media and reading in our newsletter that we recently launched our very first self-love challenge of what I hope will be many self-love challenges. Now, you may be asking yourself, why is a biblically focused, Christian-centered platform doing a self-love challenge that sounds so narcissistic for our community, right? On the contrary, I think a lot of times the women that I know struggle in their relationships, they struggle with their sense of self, and that in turn manifests as behaviors that self-sabotage and ruin the relationships that God wants to bless them with. As such, I think it's so important to address the importance of loving ourselves, affirming ourselves, encouraging ourselves, as David did in the Lord, particularly when life starts to come up against us, because it's that self-view that holds us in seasons of persecution. It's that self-view that holds us when things ain't going right, when you're in a battle. If you are not careful, as I've seen in my own life, you will allow the enemy to convince you you are not worthy of God's love. You will allow the enemy to convince you that you are not worthy of receiving loving and supportive relationships. And the moment that you believe that you are unworthy, when God, through the Bible and sending his only begotten son to die for you, was saying that you are, in fact, worthy, then you're going to struggle. Now, I want to qualify this and say that I am not talking about creating Christian narcissism. What is Christian narcissism? Christian narcissism is the kind of belief that says, God bless me, God help me, God heal me, God save me, God honor me, God help me and my family, God just bless me and my friends. And so your entire Christian journey encompasses of God blessing you, helping you, and making you and your friend group and your family look good. It has actually nothing to do with developing an intimacy with Christ, learning God's precepts and walking in God's ways, and pressing toward the mark of the higher calling, right? It has nothing to do with discipleship. It has nothing to do with healing the broken. It has nothing to do with helping the orphan, the widow, the indigent, the less fortunate. I'm not talking about Christian narcissism. What I am saying through this challenge is that you can only give what you have. If you have a negative self-view, if you have a critical spirit about yourself, if you're a perfectionist when it comes to yourself, you are going to project that onto every other person in your life. You're going to project it onto everything that you do. That anxiety, that pressure is going to create, one, mental health issues for you, and two, mental health issues for the people who choose to connect with you. Because I believe just as good things are contagious, so is negative behavior, so is negative mindsets. And I say this as someone who grew up with a father who was extremely self-critical extremely judgmental of himself, and in turn was super critical and judgmental of us as his children, right? And my entire life, I found myself deviating from that mindset until I really wasn't careful to be just as protective of myself in my adult relationships. If you followed Moderately Speaking, which is a Tuesday live that I do with my good friend Adeola, who oversees Easy Breezy Girl here, we talked about the importance of showing grace in our relationships, right? We talked about the importance of all of these debates that we have in the Christian community, and what is love, what is kindness, what is all of these things. And the reason why we're having these conversations is because I feel so often in the Christian community, we have gotten caught up in the nuance of how we love, the nuance of how we represent Christ, the nuance of how we church, that we are forgetting that this is really a love story. The Bible is a love story. It is a story about God's love for humanity. It's a story about that love and the length at which God was willing to go to save humanity. Even in our worst, only Jesus walks this journey out perfectly. And I think it's so interesting when we put the burden on people to walk out their Christianity perfectly without being concerned of the condition of their heart. And what I have learned is that you cannot preach condemnation and think that hearts are going to transform to become like Jesus. In my Christian journey, because I came to Christianity when I was 16, I have been able to go to different kinds of churches, right? And I also believe that even that was part of God's purpose for me, because I would move around for work, move back for work, you know, follow the nudging of the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you that I left Islam because I felt like it was so self-critical and judgmental in the way that my father was interpreting it in our home. But I would leave and go elsewhere and also find that others were interpreting it in the same way. And here's the issue: in sitting under teaching that teaches you to condemn yourself, to be a worm. I'm not saying that it's bad to reference the Bible where identities, where Apostle Paul, where people are saying that they're not worthy. I think it is problematic to make an entire that to make that the ministerial foundation, to make how unworthy we were, therefore we should be humble and grateful for everything, the foundation, because we can see how much God loved us, love ourselves, love God, love our neighbors, and still be humble and still take correction and still know that we have a long way to go. Both can exist. I don't either have to think that I'm a horrible person and everything is through mercy, or think so highly of myself that I can't take correction. It's balance, right? So moderately speaking, just as noted in the term, is about using balance in the way that we approach and interpret scripture. And I know that there's going to be a whole group of people who don't agree, who are going to say, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. You're just trying to millennialize the message. But I tell you what, the most difficult people to love are people who didn't love and appreciate themselves, or didn't, or had some kind of fracture in this area of their life. And as such, every bit of love that you tried to give them just felt like you were throwing your love into a deep black hole that had no bottom. And you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, and they're finding a problem with every method and which way form that you're giving. And what happens to these individuals? They ultimately push people away from their life because they're battling with self-rejection. And so they now behave in ways that causes people to reject them. And then at the end, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Your lack of love for self manifested in your lack of ability to receive love and love others. And as such, you are now finding yourself alone, blaming the world for your isolation. So you can't address that at the surface level. We got to go back to the root. Something happened somewhere. Somewhere, somebody, some people, some community made you feel like you were not worthy. And rather than meditating on the fact that you were loved by Christ, that you are loved by God, you meditated on their self-perception of you and allowed your entire identity to be formed by somebody else's opinion of you. So we got to talk about love first, right? Let's get in position. Let's get our helmets of salvation on when it comes to love. The important thing to remember is that God's love in Christ is the cornerstone of our salvation. In John 3:16, this is literally the scripture that made me come to Christ. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe with him shall not perish, but they should have everlasting life. And why was this so significant for me as a teenager in high school, struggling with nightmares, struggling with self-image, struggling with at the time, wetting the bed from anxiety, right? Because of the environment that I found myself in, because of childhood trauma. Why was that so significant? It was knowing that, like, God's love for us led him to send his only son, Jesus, to offer us eternal life. That through Jesus's sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection, the way that I was just there, was reconciled with God. All my sins were forgiven, so I didn't need to be afraid. And I was granted the gift of salvation. And that it was through the love of Christ that I had hope, that I had redemption. And believing that thing about myself, deciding to believe what God believed, that I was worthy of love when he sent his whole son to die for me, was the beginning of my journey with Christ. What if that scripture said God thought humanity was so pitiful, and so he sent his only begotten son to die for us? That's heresy. God's pursuit of humanity has always been about love, about intimacy, about a desire of relationship. And even in the way that God calls us to worship him, as we worship him, he lavishes us with even more love than we could ever give him through our mouths and our praise. How dare I turn the love story into a story about me not being enough when God has says, I love you so much that I gave you all I had. I withheld nothing to demonstrate my love for you. So loving yourself is not about you being obsessed with your physical characteristics, your gifts, skills, and talents. It is at the core of my humanity, with my imperfection, with my temper, with my flaws, with my introvertedness. I love me. I like me the way I am. Now, liking myself the way that I am does not stop me from getting a check in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, because I get it daily. Oh, that was too much. No, you shouldn't have said that. I don't like it. Fix your attitude. Well, I think that to walk with God closely and to genuinely want to be in his image does mean that we start exercising the spirit of self-control. And this is not about a self-love that does not exercise self-control, that does not exercise forbearance, gentleness, meekness, kindness, humility. This is about a love that says that if I should walk into a place and they do not receive me, as Christ told me, I'm going to shake the dust off of my feet. That's about self-respect. And I'm going to keep it moving to the next town. That's about self-respect. But so often, I think, let's go there. We're not taught the limits and the boundaries. What is the next important point about the importance of love and Christ's love? We are Christ's representatives. We're ambassadors. Our love for self should manifest in us going out and being the light in the world, right? Because God has so filled our cup that we're not looking for the world to fill that cup. Therefore, we can give, serve, love freely. knowing that our reward does in fact come from God. One way or another, He's going to reward you, love on you, and honor you for your service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us." Understanding and internalizing God's love empowers us to live as ambassadors for Christ's love. We become vessels through which God's love is shared with the world, showing others the transformative power of His grace. You can't be a living epistle calling yourself negative words. You can't be a living epistle if you think poorly of yourself. This is not, again, I have to keep saying this because I think people struggle with the duality of, I can love myself and not be arrogant. I can love myself and not be narcissistic. I can love myself and not be an attention monger. The next thing to remember is that love is the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39, Jesus teaches us the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hold up. That's the triad. Love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you skip that self-love piece, you don't got no love to give the neighbor. Let's not pull out the part about self-love. Love God, love people. Love you first before the people. Because if you don't love you first, if you don't see yourself through the eyes of God, it's going to be very hard to see your neighbor through the eyes of God. If you don't give yourself grace and compassion first, it's going to be very hard to give the next person grace and compassion. If you don't give yourself the honor, the self-respect that you need, the boundaries that you need, it's going to be very hard to honor or to show respect when somebody else has them. And what I have found is that a lot of time I meet people who are completely put off because they're like, you know, who does this girl think she is? I was like, well, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. My Bible says so. My Bible says so. And so they immediately move to pointing out flaws because they think that perhaps my self-confidence is rooted in the fact that I don't know that I'm flawed. On the contrary, I've been incredibly self-aware for a long time. I'm the kind of person that has done like personality tests since I was like 12 years old. I don't know what it is. Maybe personal development was always written in the future of my life because I have been obsessed with personality tests, self-assessment, self-awareness for like a really long time. That was before even becoming a social worker, before doing the work that I did in higher education. Like I just was curious. Help me understand myself. And so oftentimes, you know, I'll have somebody say like, oh, Asadi, you done put on weight. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right. Because I ate the food that made me put on the weight. I knew I was eating it. And when I'm ready, I will put the food down and do what needs to happen for me to drop the weight. And my weight has fluctuated my entire life. And there have been different seasons where people are like, oh, you're so big. Yeah, you right. Because that's what happens when people eat food that they like too much. Got it. I'm not mad. I enjoyed the food while I was eating it. And I knew that it was a lot of calories. Except for now, y'all. Legit, this baby weight after baby two or like just trying to hit it something else, boy. It's not the same metabolism that it was 20 years ago. But God be glorified anyway. So then, jumping back to our conversation because y'all know I like to deviate. Jesus underscores the importance of love, both for God and for others. Our ability to fulfill this commandment hinges on our understanding of God's love for us in Christ. The next thing to remember is that when we really understand the depth of God's love in Christ for us, it becomes easier to live a life of gratitude and service. It will naturally lead us there. I just become so grateful. Like, God, you love me. Like, you chose me to do this. You show me so much mercy. Like, I know I'm not even the most qualified or the most gifted at what I do, but you just keep saying yes. As long as you keep saying yes, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep showing up. And God's like, yeah, it's not because your Christianity is a better brand of Christianity than anybody's. It's just because I favor you. It's just because I love you. And I think, you know, it's because I'm willing to believe what God says about me. I'm willing to believe that I'm loved. I'm willing to believe that I'm redeemed. I'm willing to believe that I'm worthy of sacrifice. I'm willing to believe that I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm not saying that, you know, God, Jesus didn't die for everybody else, but all I'm saying is that I am God's beloved daughter. I am the disciple whom Jesus loved, just like John said over and over again. We have to affirm ourselves in Christ, responding to God's love for us by loving him back and appreciating what he has done for us gives us the grace and the ability and the capacity to love and serve others around us without expecting them to be able to reciprocate, as many people can't. So understand that love is the fulfillment of the law of Christ. It also gives us strength in times of struggle and trouble. Life will also, you know, because you know it's easy breezy out here. We're always pursuing the easy breezy. Life is going to present so many challenges and trials to us as children of God. That's the guarantee. You're going to be blessed and you're going to face persecution. And believing in God's love for us gives us the strength and the comfort during these times. Lord, is it me? No, it's not you. It's the world. Lord, did I do something wrong? All I tried to do was love this person. All I tried to do was help this person. All I tried to do was honor this person. Why am I getting this response? And what does the Bible say? In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. So this self-love journey is number one about putting on the helmet of salvation and saying, I need you to believe what God says about you through Christ Jesus. I need you to believe that you're worth it. I need you to believe that you're special. I need you to believe that you have an assignment. I need you to believe that you are unique. I need you to believe that only you could do what you're doing the way you're doing it. It don't matter if everybody else is doing it. Ain't nobody doing it like you. It's through the lens of Christ's love that we find our identity, our purpose, and our strength to love ourselves and truly love our neighbors. Embracing this definition of love, embracing his eyes of love for us, empowers us to live as his ambassadors and really to fulfill the greatest commandment and the great commission. Go out there and make disciples. And it was Christ's love that drew the disciples, that drew the followers onto them. If you can't love yourself, you don't got no love for the next person. And it helps us navigate the challenges of life with unwavering hope. I am confident without a shadow of a doubt. It is God's intention to heal. It is God's intention to love me. It is God's intention to bless me. It is God's intention to increase me. It is God's intention to take me from glory to glory to glory. It moves us away from the scarcity mindset that there is not enough, that there's only one winner. You can win. They can win. She can win. He can win. God's love in Christ is the catalyst for a life of purpose, of love, and eternal significance. It is the bedrock of legacy. You gotta love yourself first so that you can love your neighbor. I hope that was a blessing to you. If you feel like your biblical self-view is a place where you struggle, then I want you to consider joining the challenge. I'm going to link to it in the episode notes. It is still week one. It is not too late. I want you in there. I want you blessed. I want you loving yourself and seeing yourself through the eyes of God so that you can be an ambassador of Christ and show up better in your relationship, show up better in your world, and make an impact from the right place. I love you. God bless you. Share, like, subscribe, tell a friend. Be blessed. All right. See you next week.